cup, you sip hot tea. Mindless music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. Now how are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till
it's true.
Rick Adams is on.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Again, today is Saturday. You know, if it's Saturday, then it must be Rick Adams Uncensored Day. And sure enough, it is. And we're here on May 6th, 2017, and have so many things to chat about that, as I say often, I feel like that, you know, that little fly in the nudist colony. I know what I need to do, but I don't know where to begin. Well, Art will be with us in a few minutes, but one thing I'll begin with always is a word of acknowledgement from the scriptures. You know, I've been reading, as you know, from Genesis on in the last several months, and I am now on, well, I'm almost in the middle of the book of Numbers. And you know, there is such a perfect cogency now forming in my mind and in my understanding of the relationship of God to his people, Israel, and who they are and who they are today, that it is just absolutely breathtaking. You know, it's amazing to see the total consistency, the uniformity, and the numerology, if you will, of God's plan. You know, his plan is just so perfect. And all along the way, here we have the people of God, again, becoming almost as bad as the people of Satan. Again and again, time and again, they continue to not only doubt God, but disobey God and God's anointed leaders. So we have Moses and Aaron and gathering of all of these young ones from 20 on up, you know, to prepare to do battle, to get the land of Canaan, and what do you have? They want to go back to Egypt again. They want to go back to Egypt, and God's just about had it with them. And he's saying, enough's enough. And he's beckoning Moses in a cloud, and he's speaking to Moses, and Moses is speaking back to him, and he said, what do I do with this people? You know, well, it reminds me of our people, the same people today, here in America, and all throughout Europe and Australia and New Zealand and, you know, all of the nations where the Jacobite people have traveled. And it just is amazing to see the parallels once again, to see how they are discomfortable, they are unhappy, they are just in a state of total Babylon confusion. And yet they will not do what they have to do. They will not acknowledge God and come back to that God and worship him and repent. And that's the solution to all of their problems, the problems that currently are numerous, almost innumerable, and are just out of control. To cut to the chase, folks, we're in the same boat they were in then. Now it's a different world. It's a whole one world system that is now formed against us, against God's people, and against his elect in this age, particularly by God's enemies, who are indeed, they're hunkered down now in that city called Jerusalem, Yerushalem, the city of peace. Wouldn't you know it, huh? The city of peace turned into the city of unrest, unhappiness, ungodliness, the city that will, of course, be consummated as it was in the days of Sodom and Egypt. Well, just bear that in mind, folks. The solution is there, but again, the people are rebellious. They want to go right back to their old ways and be happy there and then ask God's blessings at the same time. And he says it ain't going to happen. So, in any event, that's good, because we're here to do battle, spiritual battle, with the enemy, and we are well-equipped. And one of those, one of those who joined me in battle is, of course, our mainstay, Art, from Philly, who is just really a fountain of knowledge and wisdom, and we welcome you back again, Art, to this program, Rick Adams Uncensored. How do you do?
Thank you for bringing me back on, Rick, and it's a great presentation. I hope everybody is doing well, and I like what you emphasize is the spirituality. It is a spiritual battle.
Yes, it is.
I want to
begin, Art, just by asking you the big news this week that was making news, but really is camouflaged, is what is called the repeal in the House of the so-called Obamacare bill, and how it is now languishing in a quagmire, of course, in the Senate. Many have commented on it. I think the only one I've heard on radio nationally that came pretty close was Glenn Beck, who foresees a disaster here, as well as myself. But I want to get your thoughts on this whole picture, this issue, first up. Go ahead.
Well, with respect to why they're trying to repeal it, nobody talked about the real issue. Okay, the real issue is the 2.9% real estate sales tax on every piece of real estate that's not primary residence over $500,000.
Right.
Okay, that's like 10% of the entire gross domestic product. So when Jeff Sessions said Obamacare will result in between a $6 and $7 trillion debt over 10 years, he's right. They plan to cover that gap by basically putting that real estate sales tax on every transaction out there. So, look at all the malls, look at all the factories. Any piece of real estate that's not a primary residence would get that tax. And it's actually, 2.9% is actually closer to 10% when you look at it over time. Real simple example, just round it up to 3%. You got a house that sells for, property that sells for $100,000. At the first sale, the government gets $3,000. Second sale, the house goes up to $200,000. They get $6,000. Okay, so the same piece of property, two transactions, what do they get? The property's only worth $200,000 now. They already collected $9,000, a 4.5% increase. So you take that over a couple sales transactions, and it gets close to 10%. All right, that is basically taking out 1/10 of the entire gross domestic product of this country away from us. That's what that results to. So it isn't just a very small tax. It's a very big tax. That's the reason they're repealing it. Because it would break the country. With respect to people not getting, health care, that's also an issue, because the way they messed it up to begin with. If they wanted to deal with this properly, they would have set up catastrophic health insurance plans and then basically set up co-ops, the Amish do, for medical groups to subsidize the ordinary care. But that wouldn't make everybody rich. And the courts ruled it properly. It is a tax. That's really what it is. And I hear nobody talking about how they're going to repeal the tax. Okay, we're still going to get the tax. The ones who would probably get off the hook, if you look at Donald Trump as an example, he's a real estate investor. So he saves a mint by not having to pay 3% of real estate sales tax on every piece of real estate he owns. So you can see why they actually pushed him up to become president. That was the
point. Well, you brought that up. You were the one here on this program that brought that fact up right from the beginning of that campaign. And when it was announced that he was elected president, you brought that up again and again. And again, you're absolutely right on the money. It's all about following what? The money trail. And who controls the money trail? Who are the investors? Who are the big guys, the financial bonanza guys and gals? And it all goes back to the same problem that we have. And the poor are going to get much poorer. Middle class is being squeezed and destroyed every single day. And again, the very super rich fat cats are going to do just fine. Like Janet Yellen said. I mean, she said it, we're doing pretty good. The economy is well for us. And I know who the us is. So, go ahead, continue.
Right. Now, on that tone, we did talk about Janet Yellen, working for the University of San Francisco, University of California.
No, we're speaking about Napolitano, not Yale. I'm talking about the Fed chair.
Fed chair, okay.
Right.
Well, they're going to do well with this. I mean, with respect to Janet Yellen, you know, they're always talking about raising interest rates. The reason they're not raising interest rates is because the economy stinks. And that puts them in a quagmire where they have to keep the interest rates low so they don't have a domino effect of actually going into a depression.
Well, see, they're not ready for that now, right? I mean, when they're ready to do it, all they have to do is do it. I mean, what did they do during the Carter administration? That was a good example of it there. And what happened when Reagan came in? And how they used him for 8 years, you see?
Right. They jacked up the interest rates over 20% and basically sunk the U.S. economy. You're right, and that was a federal policy that did it. And again, who put Reagan in power? Reagan in power was the power through MCA Records, which is nothing but a front for the Bruffman Crime Syndicate. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who put Obama in power? No Child Left Behind, run by the Annenberg Foundation. Okay. Who put Donald Trump in power? He rose to power through what? One of the things, through investing in casinos, like the first casino he bought in Atlantic City, Resorts International, straight from Arlansky. So even though we have musical chairs and the party's changed, the power structure behind it is identical. Nothing changed.
You're right. That's well put. Well put. I like that. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So those are some of the points we talked about. The other one I noticed is...
go ahead. It continues. There's a lot to bring in here today, but go ahead.
Two congressmen in Pennsylvania opposed the repeal of the Obamacare. One was Charles Dent, that Paul Tepeti and Pokerface were opposing.
Yeah.
And Charles Dent, a Republican in Congress here in Pennsylvania, says, oh, I honor Robert Asher. Okay, the convicted felon, when Bud Dreyer blew his brains out on TV, he looks at him as a man of honor. The other one, Pat Meehan, who's also a congressman over there in Lancaster, was the guy who worked very closely with none other than infamous Arlen Specter in covering up being properly positioned for 9/11, just like they were properly positioned for the JFK assassination.
Yeah, so, we're going to talk about that very shortly in this hour, too. JFK, 9/11, the tie-in, and Mr. Arlen Specter, he's come up for a lot of honorable praise in recent days because of his role in all of this mafia. Yep.
Right.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the biggest thing Arlen Specter did, two things. One is basically protecting Zelman Shapiro of the Zionist Organization of America from being prosecuted for losing 700 pounds of nuclear-grade weapons material out of his Apollo Affair plant near Pittsburgh, okay, and dealing very closely with Raphael Eaton. All the way up through the Obama administration, he was trying to get Zelman exonerated from his wrongdoings. Mm-hmm. The other thing he did was in family courts. If you look at the mess how families are being ripped apart, okay, and fathers are turning to deadbeats or the non-custodial parent, and financially ruined for to the kids who've grown up, he's very closely responsible for that because he set it up so the lawyers get filthy rich. So I think if you were to look at the two things he did the most, that's it. He's also one of the players promoted letting smut, run rampant throughout the American environment. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely accurate, I believe. And, you have the hub of it right there in Pennsylvania, and we have it up here in New England in the Boston metro area and beyond in suburbia. And it's very interesting to note that Kissinger once lived right across the street, so to speak, from Robert Welch of the John Birch Society. Henry Kissinger had a residence up there, as well as some other bigwigs way up in Belmont, Massachusetts, way, way, way up into the suburbia of Boston. But that's where a lot of the Harvard professors and a lot of the professors at many of the other institutions in the medical industry, the Spalding Institute and, Bethel Israel Hospital, they reside up there, too. And it seems like these are the people that are the social engineers of the cities like Boston, who, if you remember going back into the 70s, Art, there was a big, big, big calamity in Boston over what was called desegregation. You remember that, I'm sure, right?
Right. And
that was a big incident. Go ahead.
And the solution to desegregation was busing. Okay. Well, all right, now we got to desegregate by using busing. Who gets all the contracts for busing? Laidlaw for student busing, owned by the Brofman Syndicate. How convenient. They got their boys up there through Spector running the Senate Judicial Committee into the U.S. Supreme Court. And then they rule, we'll fight this by making the Brofman Crime Syndicate filthy rich by getting all the school bus leasing contracts.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And at the time in Boston, going back to that era, there was a federal judge, and his name was Judge Garrity, an Irish judge, but nevertheless, the city was torn apart, totally torn apart over this issue of forced busing. And of course, there was no segregation in the city. Segregation by itself had to be a case of forced desegregation, which it was not. It was voluntary, so-called lack of integration. Again, to use the term of social engineering, these were the mafia people at the time, La Cosa Academia, that were telling the city that it was segregated, it was terrible, it was just horrible, and they had to do something, so they implemented forced busing by federal edict. Illegal under the Constitution, but they did it anyway. And Boston was torn apart. There was all kinds of, you know, literally coming down to the street. And as I've said before, it was many of the talk radio stations there that served as a pacifier for the public from it spilling over into full-scale riots and assassinations of judges, because this was an outrage to Boston. It was an outrage to the people of the area, because none of them wanted forced busing, whether they were black, white, or in between, you see. But the social engineers wanted it. And who were the social engineers, Art? Some of the people you've just named.
Well, in this case, you're talking about the Annenberg Institute, the Annenberg School Reform Institute, No Child Left Behind. They were also the ones who run National Public Radio, okay?
Yes.
You never hear NPR talk about the legacy of Wallace Annenberg, her father, Walter Annenberg, and her grandfather, Moses Annenberg, was a direct member of the Capone Syndicate. You know, that's just not talked about. So, I mean, when you said La Cosa Nostra, you're definitely talking about the Chicago Syndicate, the Jewish Mafia side of the Chicago outfit. And also, Lucky Luciano worked very closely with the Jewish Mafia, with Meyer Lansky. So it's not like it's, it's like it's really there. The problem is people have been so brainwashed through Operation Mockingbird, controlled by the Annenbergs, the media, that they don't believe what they're actually seeing in front of their eyes.
Absolutely. And so I'm relating all of this to this, you know, this whole malaise of problems which we in America today are beset by, whether it be the so-called health care bill, Obamacare, which set the ground for this new turmoil that we will see erupt on the streets, the civil war to come, all of the strife and envy. You know, all of this, as I said, was foretold years ago in the scriptures, but here it's coming to pass in America today that we would see the great dividing line. America just, from class struggle to racial warfare, with all of these so-called police killings, all of these fake terror and real terror incidents, all of these staged events ever since 9/11 and that which followed it in terms of digitally created acts of control in the mind. So now this whole nation, beset with political, economic, social problems, has an incredible array of issues against it. And, you know, just to morph, if you will, into the one that you and I have exchanged some emails about since the beginning of last week, and that is the U.S. student and auto loans are now hitting a new all-time high of $2.6 trillion, not B, billion, but T, trillion dollars. Now, can you see a financial problem coming very shortly here?
Yes, I do. And I see those as being real big problems. But the big one, as big as the 2008 mortgage crisis meltdown, is the commercial mortgage debt, the collateralized commercial mortgage debt. You're looking at all these malls collapsing? Well, guess what? Those mortgages on those malls are going to collapse, too. And that is unregulated, just like the House of Cards that happened in 2008. The amount of debt there is basically like a tsunami compared to a water drop with respect to student loans and auto loans. Okay.
Yeah, but see, it's all coming together from every aspect of the economic picture. This is my point. All right, we got a break. Take a break, Art, and we'll come back. And hopefully, folks, you're surviving our very very...
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Whatever needs to be done, we gotta do ourselves.
All right, we're back. Rick Adams Uncensored. And we are Art and myself are just hopscotching all over the place and talking about a number of issues. But first, the economic issues and the trillions and trillions of dollars in debt that we're talking about, and then Art, you brought up the real estate debt, the mortgage crisis there. Have we left any out yet that need to be talked about?
Well, as Salenti, as one person would say, when all else fails, they take you to war. So we got to see how that plays out, too.
Well, yeah, right. But, you know, in the middle of all of this, domestically, see, America now leads the world in debt, leads the world in war, leads the world in terror, leads the war in misery, poverty, suffering. All of these things that were the exact opposite of what America was intended to be by the framers, you know, and that's what we've been taught in school. And, you know, when Wilson was anointed and put in the chair, and he was in the chariot, so to speak, we had a whole new philosophy of America. Totally diametrically opposed to that which George Washington said in his farewell address should be America, and that is to avoid and beware of all of the foreign entanglements. And he really meant You know, a lot of these military conquests and militarism that would take place. But see, again, the hand of the Rothschilds was here in this country. The whole movement out west, much of that was, you know, subsidized and provided for by the banks, the bankers. And it wasn't just about, you know, getting out into the frontier, although it worked out that way, you know, that America would become this land of unwalled cities between oceans. But it also gave way to this new philosophy of expansionism, you say, domestically, and then with Mexico, the war with Mexico. However, even beyond that was the tragedy of internationalism or interventionism, which our representatives are just so happy about. They think, my goodness, we wouldn't want to go back to those dock old days, those dock days, they say, you know, here in Rhode Island, of minding your own business, neutrality, America first, freedom. Isn't that what Mr. Trump had said he was for? And all the neocons were saying, oh, no, no, he doesn't mean that kind of America first. He means America first for us. He means America first in slavery and war and terror. You know, those are the things they don't teach in school. And they cannot teach in school of real American values against overseas imperialistic ventures, you know. If they were to do that, then, well, it might be a different picture if they'd understand how they're being set up for war. Like you say, the military, the war is going to need a lot of people. Even in this high-tech war generation, they're still going to need people to be able to program, to be able to man, woman, you know, men and women alike now in the trenches, land, you know, conquests, whether it be on the vessels at sea, or the armadas that we have, like the empires of old, or whether it be in the air. And, you know, all of this is going to need a lot of help, and a lot of people looking for work will certainly be enticed to join, if not conscripted. So it's bleak. It's a very bleak picture we paint, but it's also a very true one, you know, historically, Art. So, I mean, now we talk about the real estate, the malls are closing. What is it going to be, like 4,000 retail outlets shutting down their doors ultimately? You know,
right,
I mean, how many is it now? Is it 4,000?
It's over 4,000, and you figure about 100 people per store. So multiply that 40,000 over close to 500,000 people are going to be put out of work by the 4th of July. So, and the economy's booming. As the Wall Street reported yesterday, the jobs report, basically there's more jobs being created right now.
Right.
Right, so that's basically, you know, Michael Bloomberg, listen to this, you know, his propaganda, but he says, oh, because the jobs are, basically the number of people employed is increasing, and as a result of that, Donald Trump may not be able to prevent the Federal Reserve Bank from raising the interest rates. Just ignore the fact that 500,000 people in retail are going to lose their jobs by the 4th of July. Let's celebrate, you know, our freedom, okay, in poverty.
But the manufacturing jobs are coming back. You know, they're going to be able to manufacture those hamburgers at Burger King?
Yep, and McDonald's.
You remember when ketchup was classified as a vegetable? All right. Somebody's vegetables. Somebody is. All right. Come back, Rick Adams, Uncensored, The Deadly Experiment on YouTube, and we will return.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get 2. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we are back, and we just briefly touched on the so-called repeal in the House of Obamacare, which it is not. It is not a repeal of it. It is a change in it, but it does not repeal it. And what it does, essentially, apparently, is shift the burden, more of the burden, from the federal government to the states through Medicare and Medicaid. And also, what it's doing is shifting the burden, as you hinted and mentioned, Art, from the very wealthy to the very poor, which is what I would expect of Trump. You know, I don't expect him to be for the poor or for the middle class in any way. Not that we should have this division amongst us, because the government obviously created the healthcare mess by itself over the last half century or more. This goes right back to, you know, the original act under Lyndon Johnson, which created Medicare and this whole Medicaid concept. And I know because my congressmen were at the time were the leading pioneers of it, you know, as a typical example of a socialist state being a model for the nation. So, you know, what we have here today, again, is an example of a major confrontation coming, and I believe it will have to erupt on the street, because what you're going to see is no reformation in this bill about the need for holistic alternative kind of therapy. That was in the Obama administration legislation, you see, some alternative or naturopathic. But, of course, that's left to the states and how they regulate it, you know, how they regulate the insurance companies, how they regulate the doctors, and who are the doctors that are licensed, you see? They have to be fully licensed, and they have to be supported through that corrupt medical establishment system, which goes to the Institutes of Health, the CDC, the AMA, the ADA, the FDA. So the whole thing is a deck of cards waiting to be just blown down. There is no reform because there is no health care. It is a medocrat system, again, that is designed to benefit the financial interests. Ultimately, I see it as the banks. The banks, all legislation, Art, is written for one group of people primarily, and that is banksters, okay? The international and national banksters, because they are the ones who issue the credit, who then have to be paid back with enormous interest, and they are the ones who profit from all socialism. Nobody else profits except the lawyers, the accountants, and a few in between. The people never prosper. They always lose. This is pure communism. It's collectivism. So, I mean, we never learn from history, but this is our burden now. This is where we're at. So, I mean, the Senate is obviously going to take it up. You've got Bernie Sanders on one side, the extreme left, talking about what he would like to say, of course. And then you've got the so-called right wing, you know, all partying it up, laughing and giggling just a couple of days ago when they managed to have their victory over the left, as they say. And what's in between? Well, Trump is already hinting. He's already talking about how we may be waltzing our way into a single-payer system, which is what all of this is designed to create. The way I see it, Art, it's inevitable. It has to come down to this if we have the time to do it.
Right. And so what's happening in the medical industry is the same thing that happened in high technology. Basically, they set up all these laws to destroy small business in America.
Right.
So if you look at the end result is medical industry, in big part, is medical professionals who are small business, run small businesses. As a result, all this legislation is designed is to destroy them, to slice and dice someone up, and force them to become involved with mergers and acquisitions so Wall Street gets rich as the medical professionals who went to school for years gets their financial careers ruined, you know, as
you're
a
right.
result of what's going on.
I can see that. I can see that very clearly. You're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's what's going on. It's no different from what they did with high technology. Now they're doing that. They're also attacking teachers at the same time through the charter schools. Same game. And also recently, just saw a big protest up in my area where they're talking about climate change. Oh, we want climate change now. So what does that mean? Carbon taxes? And what does that mean? That means anybody who's paying any money for utilities, you know, for your heating or whatever, water, oh, they're going to basically triple the cost of using utilities, and the money goes to Wall Street. And, yeah, there's some issues with climate change. But with respect to what they're doing there, you know, this is just basically a Ponzi game by Wall Street to basically get everybody hoodwinked so they can financially ruin the American middle class through tripling the utility prices.
You're right, absolutely. So once again, it's those at the top who are profiting immensely and those at the bottom who are suffering now as they have never suffered before. It's just a plain fact, and you won't hear it talked about from a perspective that we talk about it from. They'll continue to blame the rich against the poor, and they're going to say, look, this is the way it is because we don't have enough redistribution of the wealth, because we don't have enough taxes, because we don't have a national health insurance program like they do in Australia and they do in Canada. So, therefore, we must go that route. And that's the media spin, again, from the bosses who control the whole system, okay? That's what it's going to come down to. Now, I want to get into 9/11 again, if you will. You and I have been going back and forth on 9/11. I think it's time, again, to open up a little video, a little audio clip here. We're going to hear about the technical aspects, again, about the steel of those towers and how they were handled and mishandled, and basically just one segment of a two-hour documentary on 9/11. But before I do that, I couldn't resist, Art. I'm sure you've heard from the Jerusalem Post, and by the way, thank you, many of our listeners, particularly Andrew Hitchcock, who has his program on, as you know, folks, AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com is right there at the top of this watchtower movement. It happened, as you know, in the Jerusalem Post. It was published, and here it is. President Trump, with his prayer show on, has proclaimed May to be, quote, Jewish American Heritage Month. And he said he called upon all Americans to celebrate this heritage and the contributions of American Jewry to observe this month with appropriate programs, activities, and ceremonies. Now, I'm sure you are going to be doing that in the Philadelphia area, Art.
I'm sure it's going to be happening down at Love Park, which is where they control the area, all around the Independence Mall there. You know, it's an abomination that the Independence Mall is basically surrounded by Zionism.
Well, you don't happen to think that, President Trump making this proclamation has anything to do with power, riches, financial wealth, or anything to do with that, do you?
I think it would be appropriate for him to have a celebration with Sheldon Adelson on one side and Sandra Lombardo Lansky on the other side, just to show how he rose, just to show the pillars of his power.
Well, now he says this month is going to be just a month filled with the enrichment of the knowledge we will all gain from how the Jewish people left an indelible mark on American culture. I don't think you'd argue with that. Through an ethical code, and all of their wisdom, and all of their kindness, generosity, and, as you know, long-suffering. Well, he stated that Jews came to America to escape persecution and violence, and that American Jews have stood for human freedom, equality, and dignity. Now, you see all those traits that are being expunged around the United States and the world, don't you?
Well, I think they should invite Rachel Corrie's parents there so that we can actually see that it's really a true idea.
That's amazing. How about Mr. Cantor? The Cantor Seti for the Study of Contemporary European Jewry at Tel Aviv University has, in collaboration with European Jewish Congress, released its annual report, which just so happens to show anti-Semitism in 2016 actually diminishing. However, there was a 45% increase in anti-Semitism on college campuses. Gee, that's true. Yeah. I wonder why.
Could it be that Hillel, run by the Brafman Syndicate, is on the campuses? Could it be that Brandeis University, fighting anti-Semitism, who worked with Wilson to wreck the U.S. economy with the Federal Reserve Bank? Could it be B'nai Brith, who's on the U.S. campuses, you know? Could it be the No Place for Hate program or pushing through the campuses there? You know, just as an example, you know, it's like, look at the, you know, look at No Place for Corruption. I got the list there. It's like every, just virtually every university in the country is run by, you know, has this influence of Zionism on their campuses.
And what has that done? You mean it has had the exact opposite effect? Rather than enticing togetherness, as they call it, and tolerance and respect mutually, it has created a sense of repugnancy on the part of many of the genteel students and some of the faculty, too, as we've seen, in opposition to that supremacy, I would think.
Right. It's basically following the planks of you know, the Communist Manifesto of divide and conquer. We're seeing it happening. If we're going to see riots, I think you'll probably see them in California, either in L.A. or Berkeley. It would be one of the two most likely places for it to break out first. But I see what they're really doing, if you realize, is they're trying to basically split up America. They hope to basically take control of California, make it another Israeli state. They hope to take
one of the 10 regions. That's right. One of the 10 regions they've spoken about.
Right. And remember, back in the 67 war, the Yom Kippur War, they actually went to LBJ and say, if we lose this war, can we have the state of Arizona as the state of Israel?
Mm-hmm.
So they got the rights.
Well, then, hey, you know, that wouldn't have been a bad idea. Then John McCain could be the prime minister. And Lindsey Graham could be the vice president. Yes, that would be fine, right? Well, you know, if it wasn't so tragic, it would be humorous. As we know, that Mr. Trump is also coming under deep praise in these publications in Israel. The Forward, also in America here, that publication. As a matter of fact, he's being praised as being quite heroic in celebrating, as you know, Holocaust Remembrance Week. The last week, I believe it is, of April, every April. So, you know, he doesn't mention the Palestinian Holocaust that was started more under Truman than any other president, a Democrat. He's a Republican. He wouldn't denounce the Democrats and vice versa over those issues, though, would he? No, they're all united in support for the little tiny strip in the Middle East. No matter how many Americans have to give their blood, their souls, their lives to it. No, I just think that that mirror is not shining very brightly. It's looking the other way around at Mr. Trump and Mr. Pence and Mr. Mattis, and the whole cast of characters of hardliners. And, you know, that's the thing is, you know, we talk about the costs that are being destroyed or cut here domestically. Spending is not going down, Art. It's going up. The rate of spending isn't really being addressed at all. Why? Because what they're cutting domestically, Mr. Trump and his neocon supporters and advisors from Schwarzman and Cohen and on, is to increase the military. So the military welfare state, if you will, not so much the welfare part now, but the militarism across the globe is increasing by leaps and bounds. Just as I said, this would be the blowback from the perception that Obama was weak, he was denuding our military, and the next president, a Republican like Trump, would have to restore American pride and restore American military support for our friends across the globe. They want us out of South Korea, so what do? Occupy it more. We create a crisis with North Korea that was not even a crisis before him. We go into Syria, and not we, but the American forces, and then kill a whole bunch of people. We do it with regard to Iraq and Afghanistan, repeatedly expanding now in Somalia with more deaths resulting. This is the Roman Pax Americana Empire now. This is where it is.
Now, the absurd thing is they can't even afford to build a fence on the American border with Mexico. Isn't that absurd that we can basically fight
them? There you go. Yeah.
Right. The reason, well, the reason is there's no fence there because too many people are getting rich on this side. So, you know, yes, the Mexicans are bringing in all their illegitimate activities in the U.S. They're basically trying to take over the state of California. But who's getting rich in this process? Who's actually making all the money? Who sat on the under the Department of Justice, the Immigration Committee, before the Obama administration? It was a guy who, I forget his name, but it was a guy who basically, his father was a Cuban immigrant who honored Theodore Herzl.
I remember the name you brought it up.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's so obvious that they've infiltrated our government to the point that they no longer represent the American people. And and the tipping point was really at the JFK assassination. I mean, they've been here for, you know, for decades, probably 100 years, going back to maybe 1840 when Lincoln was here. But they didn't have full control over the government until the tipping point of the JFK assassination. They were, right, you know, a thorn in our back, but they didn't control the situation until that point. So that's how I see it.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. And well, we're going to continue in the next segment into the next hour a little bit, if you have time with me, to talk about 9/11 and the Israeli role in all of this, and how was it Fort Lee, New Jersey, was a key focal point along the east coast of America where these plans apparently emanated from, the 9/11 plans from Israel to America to bring down the Twin Towers, to be able to attack the Pentagon, to be able to create this fake, terror takedown of a plane over Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and all of this that resulted from it. The Project for a new American century. We've got to go over a clip on this subject, and then you can fill in the gaps from the Cosa Nostra aspect of it as well. So I think we'll just we'll take the pause first, but I again want to mention the most important things that we're discussing here today is the internal demoralization and collapse of what we have always considered to be America and the external encirclement of America from within and from without. They're both factors that are leading to an emasculation of this country, a breakdown into civil war, 10 regions, as you've said, and they, of course, were forecast by Mr. Dugin, from Russia, was an advisor in the campaigns for Putin. He foresaw this in the 1980s and 90s. How clairvoyant, you say? All of that now, that mix is beginning to hatch here in America. All right, folks, we will return, and you can join us as well. Rick Adams, Uncensored on RBN.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back now, and I want to share a clip, Art, for you and our audience, revisiting 9/11, and some people consider it to be one of the very best documentaries that has ever been produced on the technical aspects of 9/11, all of the incongruities, all of the contradictions, and basically fake science, and that has been ignored by the 9/11 Commission, never addressed by it, of course, never addressed by the media, of course. And here we have a clip here that I think if we're ready, our guy Sam will give us that that clip, and I'll tell you where to stop, Sam. Go ahead. Under the rubble.
It seems as if parts of them had melted. This is totally inexplicable because the temperatures reached by the fires could only have been 800 degrees at the most. To melt a steel girder, you have to reach temperatures of around 1600 degrees. How could this be? At a microscopic level, if you examine the granular structure of the steel, one can detect the presence of an element that should not normally be present, and it is there in substantial quantities. It is sulfur.
We're quite sure now where this molten metal came from. It comes from a material called thermate, which is aluminum powder, iron oxide, and sulfur.
The temperature is so high that steel melts. It could only melt if the temperature reached over 1,000 degrees in a few seconds. The use of thermite could certainly have caused the fusion apparent in the steel beams.
You see, the presence of thermite now in these buildings to bring them down implies that someone had to place the thermite near the steel columns in order to cut through the columns. I have interviewed a demolition expert, and he said this is what they do. They set explosives. They can use radio control to initiate the firing of the explosive. They have to be done in a sequence in order to get the building to come down rapidly and straight down. A controlled demolition. Scientists, we look at different hypotheses, different explanations. But then we have to look at all the data to see which explanation fits the best. You have to incorporate all the picture. Yes, yes, you may take an isolated fact like the plume and say, well, perhaps that was a high air pressure that somehow blew a window out. But that will not account for the molten metal or the sulfidation or the molten pools.
South Tower collapsed
and blew. All right, we're going to break for the break right now, folks. Midway on the show. We'll be right back with more in just a few minutes. Art will stay with us. Thank you.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.